Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. This is your co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio. I'm not quite sure what's going on with Gina. I don't know if she was in a zone where she had trouble calling in or whatever, so we are live and cooking here now, and sorry for the delay. So give me a second. I'm going to unmute people here, and there we go. So I have both of you unmuted, and let me first say before I introduce both of you is to let you know that there is something, even though both of these guests today have very different backgrounds. We have one person who has studied natural healing for over 3 decades, and then we have a Methodist minister. Kind of different, but there's something that each of these people has in common, which is that you're using your God-given innate natural talents in interesting ways to accomplish the work that is most important to you, to your life, to your spirit, that is truly a part of your mission, not just something to do. So I'm very, very excited to welcome to our show today, Kristen Kopp, first of all. And hello, Kristen. Hi there.
Hi. How are you today?
Hi.
Well, a little rattled because it was a bit odd, but glad we're finally going and so happy to have you here. Now, Kristen,
well, you know,
we just roll with it, right?
We just roll with it. No kidding. Is there a delay? Are you having a hard time hearing me?
No, I can hear you just fine.
Great. Glad to hear it.
Great. So, Kristen, we are excited to have you here. You are known as the Dragon Slayer, and the kinds of dragons that you slay don't involve swords and steel and armor and shields and those kinds of tools that we think of more in mythology, but really in being able to work with the powers of your mind and your spirit. So, and I know that the thing that you're going to talk with us about is about slaying your financial dragons. So that's going to be pretty exciting. And I'll come back to you in just a second, okay, Kristen?
Absolutely.
Great. And I know, Reverend Norman Ramsey, that you are here with us as well. And you are a Methodist minister, and you have a wonderful ability to create music, and you are very well known for creating music that goes along with your teachings, and you have several CDs in release as well as the first of your books that just came out. So welcome, Norman, to the show.
Well, thank you, Rhonda. It's good to be here.
Yeah, very glad to have both of you here. So we're going to talk with Kristen for a little bit, and then we'll move over to you. But if you feel an inspiration to chime in, that's perfectly okay. We're kind of a free-flowing show over here.
I'm all ears.
Okay,
right now.
So, okay, well, that's great. Now, Kristen, so you have become known as the Dragon Slayer. Is that a moniker that you gave yourself, or how did you come to be known as that?
Well, I've talked for a long time about the quantum universe and how our attitudes, our beliefs, our feelings affect our outcomes. And we can't just change our mind, mentally decide that we're going to change something. We need to actually be able to go in and pull out the energy that's stuck that is creating the results that we've been getting. So I have a long history of working with people to remove the beliefs and the attitudes and the emotion and the energy that gets in the way. So I've been focusing on helping people to release what's not serving them and move forward. And yes, I have been called the Dragon Slayer. It's kind of a fun title. And much more importantly, I help people to get what they want. I help people to recognize what it is they really want. Because, you know, the interesting thing is that people have sacrificed their dreams because they have so many ideas about who they have to be and what they have to do in order to get what they want. And so in order for people to move forward, yet we have to release the stuff, we have to slay those emotional and mental dragons, and then construct a mindset that allows us to move forward. And in order to move forward, we have to ask ourselves some critical questions. Who's influencing us?
Okay.
If we're listening to the people who encouraged us to get into the spot that we were in the first place, then we're just going to return back to that spot. So, you know, removing the ideas that we have about who we are and what we can have really means that we have to let go of some of the people's ideas that we've been agreeing with. So who's influencing us? We need to learn how to listen to ourselves rather than the experts, mm-hmm. the friends, the family, the shoulds.
Right. And I'm going to stop you there for half a second because one of the things that tends to happen with people, and we have a lot of people in this particular audience who are either starting a business or on the cusp of or thinking of starting one or just learning how to or maybe even a year down the road. And a lot of times you talk about who is influencing us. Sometimes isn't it the people who you love the most and who love you the most who can actually be a great impediment to your progress?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you come from a family that says, get a job, work hard,
yep.
you're going to be disserviced. Now, I did not come up from a family like that. In fact, I got a job out of college and I was ashamed. I was so ashamed because the mindset of the community that I grew up in was do not get a job unless it totally serves your passion. Otherwise,
right.
you need to find a way to serve your passion. So absolutely, our families and the people who we love can really sabotage us. Also, here's the thing, Rhonda. So often people believe that they need to do certain things in order to get what they want. And so if they're starting a job because they want to have financial freedom, there are other ways to achieve financial freedom. The first question is, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? Go out and do it. The idea that do what you love and the money will follow is one of those expert comments that people have bought into,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't get people the results that they're looking for.
I know. That really drives me nuts personally to hear that because, yes, and we are truly, totally a believer in finding your profitable passion, but, you know, just because you love dogs or whatever doesn't necessarily mean that the money is going to automatically flow to you. There are things that need to be put in place first and that will assist you. So that's one of those things I kind of find irritating because then people get frustrated. They say, well, I love dogs and I'm doing A, B, and C, and I still love dogs and that's about it. And then they get frustrated and feel like that wasn't a worthy dream. And there's nothing wrong with loving dogs or finding a way for it to be profitable, but it's just not an automatic flip switch, is it?
It sure is not. And how about if you do what you love because you love it, and you know, this is the 21st century. We do not have to work hard and trade hours for dollars any longer. There are ways to leverage money. Money is one of those magical things that is not like a finite commodity. It's something that you can replicate, and every month it can just simply replicate itself. There are ways to leverage money where you don't have to invest any time. I mean, you do have to get you have to hook up into the grid. But once you've hooked into the grid, go do what you love to do. The money will be there, and it won't even have to be attached. Now, if you want to make your love of dogs a profitable venture, you're still going to need money, and it's nice not to have to worry about the money. The people who trade a job where they get up early in the morning and get dressed in their work uniform and go sit at their desk or whatever they do, if they trade that for work at home, they're probably going to end up working more hours and be more stressed because now they don't have a guaranteed paycheck. So,
right. I have a friend of mine who once said that having an online business is the only profession in which people work 20 hours so that they can make money for the other four. You know, in other words, meaning people are putting a lot of time into stuff. It doesn't have to be that way, but that's typically the path that people follow, and that's kind of what he was ragging on with that comment, you know, that it doesn't have to be that way, but that certainly is the way that most people are. They say, great, I have the freedom to work from home, and then they're a slave to sitting at their desk and becoming fat and unfit and unhealthy and unhappy and miserable and everything else.
Absolutely. So when people decide that they want financial freedom, they want freedom from the grind of a 9-to-5, they're not necessarily looking for a home business opportunity, but they don't know
right.
that they can leverage a little bit of money and create a flow that allows them to simply go do what they love to do. Now, very often that means that they will make a contribution and they will be also funded from that contribution. You know, money can flow when you make a contribution. Absolutely, it's appropriate to get something back. But to be reliant on whatever it is that you're offering or enjoying to make you money is an old-fashioned idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be stunning for your listeners, that you don't have to work in order to get money. This is the 21st century. There's a way to leverage money where you don't have to put in the time because you can get into the grid, and that grid is not going to be, you're not going to hear about that grid from financial planners who are, you know, salespeople and employees. You're not going to hear about it from bankers. You're not going to hear about it from the regular experts. We need to really pay attention to who is influencing us, because if you are not really listening to your gut and recognizing that the old experts are no longer going to serve you in getting what you want, and that you need to be listening to yourself in a new way and being open to new ideas, you're going to be stuck in the same old, same old.
Mm-hmm. And I want you to talk about the grid shortly, but you mentioned three questions, and that one, who's influencing you, is the first one. What's the next question?
It's all about mindset. What are you thinking about work, about money, and about having what you want? I have a new client who had so much emotion and resistance to the idea that she could actually have what she wanted, that she could actually do what she loves to do just because she loves it, rather than having to force it into being a money-making venture. And
mm-hmm.
So what our mindset is going to influence us in every aspect of our life. We're either going to make sacrifices and believe that we have to sacrifice in order to have what we want, and we're willing to just get a little bit on weekends or for 2 weeks of vacation or when we can squeeze it in, or we can simply blossom into being a being and celebrating life and experiencing life the way we want to. And the idea, here's a really radical idea. We can have our cake and eat it too. We can enjoy our life, and we can have more joy the next day and more joy the next day. We can have our cake and eat it too. We can spend our money and have more money coming in, and spend that money and have more money coming in. This is the 21st century. It's a totally new game. we can have our cake and eat it too.
And that is about mindset. Right. That's the thing where people really don't have this feeling that they're, I think ultimately it's like people don't think that they're going to be taken care of. And then there's this belief that everything has to come from sacrifice and hard work. Now, you know, yeah, there are times that you're certainly putting in some participation. You're not saying you just sit on your duff, are you?
That's the third question. What are your where are your actions taking you? You must be willing to take action.
I mean, I can't imagine that you can make this fantasy about being this most gorgeous person in the world, but I'm sure if you're sitting on your couch eating bonbons and not moving, it's really not going to happen still. So it's not only mindset, is it?
Absolutely. Recognizing that you are the one who makes the decision, recognizing that your mindset is going to affect your outcome, and taking aligned action is the formula. And when you're taking action based on trusting yourself and cleaning up your mindset and taking the action that will allow you to live the life that you really want is this simple formula. You got to know what you want. You need to recognize that you can have it, and then you have to take simple action. For instance, I would like for your listeners to take a simple action today, and that is to go to haveyourcakeandeatit2.us. Us.
Okay.
Join us, and you can have your cake and eat it too. haveyourcakeandeatit2.us. It'll take you 20 seconds to read the page and 20 seconds to fill in your name and your email. That's an action. It's an aligned action to find out how you can experience your life on your terms without sacrificing.
Okay. So what are people going to do? Sure. What will they get once they take that action of filling out their email?
Well, I'm going to tell them about an opportunity that is going to be something that they've never heard of before. It's an opportunity. It's a way to invest in themselves so that we can leverage my training background. I've been a trainer and consultant for 35 years. I've worked with CEOs, with entrepreneurs, with high asset individuals, with entertainers, with Olympic athletes. I have helped them to recognize what it is that they really want, to shift their mindset so that they can perceive their opportunities and not be influenced by the old ideas so they get the same old, but so that they can really listen to themselves and take the actions that will get them what they want. So it's a program that will leverage the 35 years of experience that I have. They will have an opportunity to also hear from a business associate of mine who understands leveraging money and who really do what you love and the money will follow. Well, this man does love working with money. he loves mm-hmm. business. He watches what's going on, and he can perceive what the changes are. And so they'll have an opportunity to see this in action. And they are going to be stunned by the offer because it's something that they've never heard of. So I want for them to sign up at haveyourcakeandeatit2.us so that they can have the opportunity to see if this is something that's right for them.
Okay, very good.
It's going to be a life changer.
Yeah, have your cake and eat it too. It's T-O-O at the end, and then .us.
Correct.
So go ahead over there. And we have this third question. There were three big questions that you want people to ask self. And by the way, I am putting these questions and I'm putting that link into our chat window so that people who are listening through the computer, if you wish to add something, ask a question or whatever, you are certainly able and encouraged to do that through the chat, and I will do my best to read it and make sure the question gets asked. I'm the visually challenged one, so it gets interesting. But go ahead and add your questions in there and realize I'm putting these questions and tidbits from Kristen into our chat window. So, Kristen, what is that third question that you want people to ask themselves?
Where are your actions taking you? Are they leading you toward your passion and your freedom, or are they leading you to more frustration, more work that you don't love doing? Too often, for instance, years ago, I was doing a lot of professional speaking. I was doing a lot of corporate consulting. I was running an alternative adult learning center where I taught every week and where I brought in experts or new thought leaders to do programs. I was publishing a 16-page quarterly newsletter using typesetters, by the way. An old-fashioned idea. And I was a mom, and I was a wife, and I decided I needed more credibility, so I was working on my doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't that I was impassioned by the assignments that I was given. It was that I was doing it because I thought I needed to do that in order to get what I wanted. And this is the 21st century. We don't have to buy into, you have to do this in order to get that. It's
right.
An old-fashioned idea.
Well, and credentials are coming to mean something quite different these days, aren't they, Kristen? I mean, it's not only a doctorate or another college degree that gives you street cred or credibility amongst people, is it?
No. And actually, what we are being is often enough credibility. If we are having what we want and doing what we want because we want it, and we have found a way to live life on our terms, that's enough credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then people will say, oh, I want what she's having.
And this comes through in the voice. We often talk in this show about having the voice of an expert. Now, the voice of an expert doesn't mean the degrees of a perceived expert. It doesn't mean having, you know, enough pieces of paper and whatever behind your name. It means standing and speaking and living from your own power, from your own expertise, and from your empowered passion.
Yeah, that certainty really translates and it resonates with people. It's listening to yourself rather than the experts. Now, if you break your leg, you go to a doctor, and if your water pipes break, you call a plumber. Those are experts. I'm talking about experts in life. And you can if you start listening to your inner vibration, oh, this person has something that I want to learn about so that I can make a decision. Does this fit for me? I'm attracted to the energy of this person. You're right. It's the voice. It is the certainty. It is the presence. It is the aliveness that attracts people. And that's much more important than a piece of paper given by somebody who's had you go through a bunch of hoops in order to accomplish that goal.
Right. I know that I've gotten more leverage out of my non-degreed expertise than I ever have of college degrees. And I'm not putting down going to college. I mean, there are reasons to do it. So neither are you. But it's just to point out that it's not only about the paper. And one thing I wanted to know from you, because I know there are some people who are going, okay, yes, I believe in what I'm doing. I'm taking the right steps to get training, you know, because maybe they're in one of Gina's programs or whatever, and they're going, but I'm just not quite getting where I want to be. What is it that's getting in the way, and what can I do about it? Kristen, what would be your answer to that?
What is it that you really want? I would start asking what they're doing that's leading them off track. You know, it's number three. It's the third question. Are your actions taking you toward your passion and your personal and financial freedom, or are they leading you to frustration? You're describing somebody who's in frustration.
Mm-hmm.
So we would just go back to you know, what are the actions that you're taking? And the question that comes before what are the actions that you're taking is, what is it you really want? Because it's so easy for us to get off track, especially if we've listened to experts who are telling us, here is a formula. Are you familiar with Gary Vaynerchuk? He wrote a book called Crush It, Why Now Is the Time to Cash In on Your Passions. And if you've seen him on video, he is passionate, he's raw, he's visceral, he's present, he's believable. He's just the whole package. He's exciting to watch. And in his book, he says, hey, you know, the techniques, the strategies that were working 6 months ago are no longer working. I recently read a review of his book, and it said, you know, gotta love Gary V. He's exciting, he's thrilling, and some of the things that he wrote about, some of the strategies that he wrote about in his book that was published a year ago are no longer working. So we can but that's the truth. That's the truth. Strategies change. So if you are chasing your tail by buying e-courses or e-books and you're looking for the strategy, you're going to get up to speed on yesterday's winning strategy. And it may have nothing to do with what's working today or what's going to work with you. If you're told to go do ABC and you're only good at A, and B and C are frustrating, like writing articles, some people are not made. You know, it's so frustrating for them that it causes misery. Well, then they shouldn't be trying the article strategy. But if that's what their expert is telling them to do, they may spend a lot of time doing that, and that action is going to lead to frustration. It's not, just as you said, it's the voice. If you're doing something that doesn't ring true for you, you're not going to come across as authentic. And therefore, even if your message is sound, your voice is going to take away the credibility. So it's not what you do, it's how you do it. If you find something that works for you, celebrate it, do it, even if the experts are not saying that that's the thing to do today. We need to find what's working for us.
Right. Things do change fast, and I'll just give one example I know that people can relate to is the changes in Facebook. I mean, up to even 3 months ago, you had Facebook fan pages, and you would become a fan of something. All of a sudden, one day, you wake up, and now it's the like this. Instead of becoming a fan, it's like. And so now they're like pages instead of fan pages. And every time Facebook makes a change, there's this big uproar, and there's some group that says 10 million people to have Facebook go back to the old way. And it will never, I would see those, and I laugh, and I go, it will never happen. It doesn't matter how much you like the new change or you're irritated by it. Or I know of a couple of people who had to revamp parts of their products and change all their videos and stuff just because of that one change of fan page to like page. And that's just how it is. Things are very accelerated in terms of the expectations and technology. And it also lets you decide that, hey, maybe I can choose to believe something that's a little outside the box, a little bit different, and still be able to make things happen.
Absolutely. In order to move forward, in order to live the life that you really want to live, you're going to have to break out of the box because you know what the box has been getting you. So I really hope that that people understand that who they're being influenced by is affecting their experience. That what they think about work, about money, about having what they want is affecting their experience. And their actions, what they're willing to do and what they're not willing to do, is getting them the result that they are getting today. And if they are in frustration rather than in personal and financial freedom, I really encourage all of you to go right now to haveyourcakeandeatit2.us. The offer isn't up on a web page yet, but by signing up, they will hear about the details. They're not going to believe it because it is, well, they will believe it because they believe my passion. It is an unprecedented offer. It is an exciting offer. It will allow them to change their lives in an extraordinary way. And signing up at haveyourcakeandeatit2.us is the only way that they're going to hear about it. They won't be sorry. And they will be
all right.
Exhilarated by the results that they get.
That's terrific.
So
well,
thank you so much for having me.
I'm very excited that you are with us, Kristen, and thank you very much. I'm going to, of course, that link will be in the show notes. I'll get that up presently, and then I put up a blog post after the show, and I'll add your three questions as well as that link in there for our listeners. And again, that is Have Your and eatit2.us, and that's T-O-O. So thank you very much, Kristen, for being here with us today and sharing your wisdom, and I look forward to, of course, continuing to be your colleague and friend. And any way that I can serve you, please feel free to let me know. I'm happy to be there for you.
You are a treasure, Rhonda. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. And my best to all of your listeners, have them remember, freedom is delicious. Feed your spirit.
Yes. That is so true. Thanks a bunch. Have a great one, Kristen.
Thanks, Rhonda.
And hello, Norman. Hi, Reverend Norman Ramsey.
Hi, Rhonda Del Baccio. How are you today?
There he is. All right. Okay, I'm really excited to be able to share you with our listeners. You and I have known each other for a little while, and I've been through a lot of things with you as you were bringing your first book. It's probably one of the longer birthing processes getting a while to get your book done, but you have this amazing gift that is just so delicious and wonderful. I mean, many gifts, of course, that you've been given, but one of those is to put song, to put lyrics and music to the teachings that you have, and that's one of the things I want to share with you a little about.
Well, you're more than welcome to. I said, as far as the book process goes, I just want to be an encouragement to people who believe that after a short time, they should give up. Don't give up.
No.
I was promised when I first met you that I could have my book project finished in 6 months. And, of course, I was way over that, but it was not your fault. It was mine. But the good news of working through that long process, the one thing, place in my life that I always got stymied, I finally discovered in the scripture the path that takes me through that place I never could walk before. And once I finally saw that place where God's pathway of his working, the way his grace works, applied to that part of my life, the book was done in just a very short period of time after that. And so we're very thankful for that. And I'll be happy to share that from 2 Corinthians chapter 7 as we talk today.
Oh, absolutely. I want to mention your website for people, so let me just pause and do that. His website is, and it's listed there in the show notes, but you can go to Norman Ramsey, R-A-M-S-E-Y, normanramsey.com. So just want to make sure people know where to find you.
Well, we just got that kicked off and still working on that
right.
A little bit every day, but excited about that.
Well, you have a book that I love the cover. The book has a stack of pancakes on it as the cover, and the book that you have written is called Moving at the Speed of Grace. Now, we're pre-launch on Amazon, so I was not able to put the book listing with the picture up on the show notes, but hopefully
well,
as soon as it's up,
on Amazon until August the 3rd. But
right.
Anyone that wants to have the book can go to normanramsey.com or contact me at reverendnorm@msn.com, and I'll be happy to get them a book.
Right. And after your book's up on Amazon, we'll have the picture and everything there. So people listening to it after August 3rd, you'll be able to simply click on this page with this show on, then order it from there should you choose. But, of course, I want you to go to normanramsey.com to his website. But the thing is about your book is a book, and buying a book is meaningless to somebody until they know that this book is of value and of importance to them and to their lives. So I would love for you to share some reasons why somebody might want to read your book.
Well, I think the number one reason is this book will help you go from being, like you have already introduced me, I'm a United Methodist minister. And I am very much concerned. I think my passion is life. In life is making the grace and joy of Jesus as unavoidable as possible to everybody who's listening today. And one of the ways we want to do that is through the book, Moving at the Speed of Grace, Discovering the Way God Works. I was recently asked, who is my target audience? And it was a pastor who asked me, so rather than giving him some demographic information, I just said it's for everybody in your congregation that knows they're to be following God but don't really believe they can walk with God. And the book has helped to lay out the path that God always follows when he works in our lives. Even though the publisher took the word always out, they said that would be too presumptuous. But I have found it now that path, that over almost 60 times in the scripture where this path is represented. And almost, I believe now, every person that follows a path of success for themselves will be intentionally or inadvertently following this path. That's just how I believe God's grace works in all of life. But the number one goal I have, I think, in writing the book, most people are familiar with the Christmas story and the story of the angels coming to the shepherds.
Yeah.
Well, the scripture tells that when that episode of their life was concluding, they didn't run around and tell everybody, come out to the field tonight. We had angels show up last week at this time. We're going to have, you know, or I'm going to have a book deal on angelic experiences or anything like that. It was all about Jesus. So much so, the scripture says, when they returned home, no big spiritual exercise, but they're just going about their business. But when they returned home, the scripture says they were praising and glorifying God. And that word for glorifying means there was just a complete overlay of their movement and God's. And so if you had been looking for God that day. What was that, Rhonda?
You're talking about a complete connection, no separation, no difference between the human experience and divinity.
Yeah, I mean, just the work of God in a person's life, that you are together. Jesus said, I don't do anything but what I see the Father doing. That because, of course, Jesus being Lord and God, that would be entirely appropriate for him, but we are to share in the glory of God. And so that word is just a complete overlay. If you had been looking for God that day, you would have just seen shepherds walking back up the hill. And if you had been looking down from heaven to look for the shepherds that day, you would have just seen God's hand moving in the earth. And so that's where we want to get. We don't want to have a big distinction between what we're up to today and what God is doing and moving and how God is acting and how God is sharing who he is with other people. And that's where the parable of the pancake, that's how the pancake ended up on the cover of the book. I didn't want anything mechanical. And when we were first doing the artwork, people had this, you know, they had the word moving in the title. And so they were trying to convey that sense of movement. But I just pleased to ask them to just read more of the book. And they ended up putting the pancakes on the front. Because
I'll get back to the pancake shortly.
Okay.
And I love that parable of the pancake. And we'll come back to that. But one thing I want to highlight for our listeners, we talk a lot about this on this show and in the work that Gina and I both do about having a system for something. So what you have been able to do is to explain extrapolate from scriptures and perhaps from your own experience the system for how somebody can make that connection. And I also know from knowing you and hearing, you know, updates along your journey that you have really applied principles of what we would call relationship marketing or relational marketing all throughout this this journey of writing your book, because you've had various people reading it, and I know that you've had people even asking for the book before it was complete. So let me have you talk a little bit about how was it that you came up with this kind of this system and realizing this overlay between the human experience and the godly experience, and how you found this system in all these different places in the scripture and were able to put it together in kind of like in the easy button fashion, making it easy for people.
Well, I've had a lot of different experiences in my own life. One significant event really before this, well, the birth of the sermon that gave way to the book was trying to see about setting the world's record for the longest sermon and seeing how God could work above and beyond what I had ever experienced in my own life. And that was in 2003. At the beginning of 2004, our church was going to read through the scripture together and through the course of the year, and then I would preach to those, you know, each week where we were reading together. And at the beginning of the year, I asked God to please give me a message that we would see over and over again. And that first Sunday, just ended up preaching. I thought it was a pretty good sermon, but I thought at that time that's all it was a path that sin seemed to always run down from the very beginning of the scripture, and how that progression of experience went. And I thought maybe that's how guys come up with one-track minds, and because sin only knows one track to run on. But then also from Romans chapter 8, where God is working everything together for our good, and we believe that those who are called of God to his purpose and who love God, that there was a way. Jesus said, I am the way. So there was a way that God moved or worked from beginning to end to start all over again in us from one degree of glory to another. And so that was that sermon. And as we went through that year, though, that path kept on showing up. So much so that by about a year and a half, I just thought I was making it all up because I did not hear anybody express it quite like you said as a system, as a path. Since then, I believe it has been, but I got confirmation of that, had the opportunity to sort of reinforce it in my own life, and then was able to contact you almost 2.5 years, I guess, after really trying to wrestle with it myself, just to make sure it was legitimate, make sure it was accurate, make sure it would really work, not just in my life, but anybody's life that would seek to walk with God this way. And so that's where we developed the path that begins in repentance. It always begins with, even as Kristen was saying, with aligning not just your thoughts to yourself, because you can always, or maybe even in the end, fool yourself, but aligning yourself with God, with his word, and believing so that you can exchange your way of looking at things for God's, and to build up your faith so that you can take responsibility for your life, not have to blame anybody else for what's going on in you, but get to a place where you can really bless other people. And when you come to those places in life, which you always do, where something has to give, it doesn't have to be the person next to you. It can be you, just like Jesus, who willingly gives himself for us. And that's where we come to the point of breakthrough. And so I'm a sort of an alliteration freak, but it helps people remember how to walk. We begin in repentance. We believe. We build up our faith. We bless other people. We don't just live for ourselves. We certainly live to love our neighbor as ourselves and bring life to them, bring them systems and ways of doing things that enable them to change and be changed so that they can break through into newness of life. And so that's the pattern in a nutshell.
Okay, so that's great. You were able to discover this system. And as with many people, when you come up with a sort of a new way of understanding, it's always about looking at the clues that are there. But see, a lot of times people don't have eyes to see what's all around them. And you were able to come up with that system. And tell us about the parable of the pancake.
Well, that comes in the blessing section of the book. And really just demonstrates why we are to be spirit-led people, not just led by our best intentions or whatever. I said, I'm Norman Leslie Ramsey III, and I've seen what Norman Ramseys are capable of, at least these three varieties, and I've always had a prayer in my life to grow and to have God minister and work in me and His Holy Spirit to come and make such a distinction in me that if I am ever not myself, I will look more like God than me. And so I encourage everybody to pray that prayer. Lord, if I am ever not like myself, let me be more like you than me. And so I wanted to have a way of representing the distinction of being led by God. And the parable of the pancake came out of my experience with a very young friend. We used to keep two young boys in our last church appointment. The oldest boy, who is five now, came to stay. And we started every day with cooking pancakes. But as you know, if you're a pancake mix without your maker, you're just sitting on the shelf, dust in a box.
That's right.
It's not until your maker comes and claims you and purchases you and takes you home that you really are on the path to becoming who you were meant to be.
Until mix happens.
Oh, you're still just, you know, if you try to put your best self forward without the maker's claim on your life, they come in the grocery store and they sweep you up and throw you away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always important to me, maker-driven. And maker-led, and the maker takes you home. And in case of my pancake mix, my great value pancake mix that I get at Walmart, you only have to add one ingredient, and that's water. And God does the very same thing in us when He adds faith to our life. And the good thing about the kind of faith that God gives, it's never a crutch. It's never an add-on, any more than you would say, when you pour water into pancake mix, y'all, come on, the pancake's ready. But
right,
you begin
yeah.
to stir that faith into who you are, what God's faith is into who you are, to where you cannot tell the difference. Anyway, that's the goal, to where you can't tell the difference, where you begin or end or where God's work in you begins or ends. You don't leave any, you wouldn't leave anything unstirred, and where you completely finish that work of mixing and stirring together. I had a pastor who was very weary from his, he says, trying to do things for God, trying to order things and orchestrate things and come up with things and trying to always invent things. And I said, well, why don't you just quit doing that and find out what God is doing and just join Him? And when we got to this point in the parable where we had gone from dust in the box on the shelf to maker claimed and added faith and stirred up together fully, he goes, and that's when we pour ourselves out for God. And I go, no, that would be a mess the maker would have to clean up. And so we don't just jump in to do things because, hey, I can do that. We have a relationship with God that allows us to know do I need to do this? Do I need to learn from this person, God, instead of this person? Do I need to quit looking at things this way or this way? And I can make each choice knowing I have a relationship with one who loves me better than I can love myself, who will always have my best at heart and is already actively working together things for my good. And the other danger of trying to just jump in and do, we have the tendency, I said that's one of the things we have a problem with in our country right now. We feel we have to do things. Things are so bad, we have to act this way or we have to do this. Mm-hmm. And we corner ourselves, even, you know, we put ourselves into deeper holes by not allowing ourselves to be healthy or be have options or to have multiple choices on how we move forward. And the other thing about that point of the process of making a pancake, if you could pour yourself in, you would pull yourself back when facing the next section, the heat, and end up being a half-baked person or a half-baked pancake. It's entirely up to the maker when we're turned and how we're served. And so it's just an encouragement to know that God is invested through his Son in you and that the Holy Spirit wants to be the leader, the guide, the comforter, the strength for everything we have to face, and that we can get through anything, even no matter what, how painful or excruciating the circumstances or the heat, we know by faith we'll be served up and put in the right place to help the maximum amount of people. Rhonda, are you there? Rhonda?
Sorry about that. My phone lost battery, apparently. So, Norman's trying to call me, which isn't especially helpful. So hopefully we'll get him, let me get him unmuted again. There we go. Okay, now we have Norman unmuted.
Hey, Rhonda.
There we go. That was a little odd. I guess my phone, the battery just kaputzed out on me without any warning, so I'm so sorry about that. But great parable of the pancake, and one of the things I really wanted you to be able to share was how you involved people, because throughout the writing of your book, I know that you had it, it's already, if you will, field tested. It's already proven in the field by people reading it. So share a little about how you involved people in your communities, in your church communities, as you were writing the book before it was published?
Well, I had, several friends that agreed from the very beginning that they would read it. One in particular, Gerald Bowles, who was just a great friend, not only to, he's just so good at reading and then finding the places where I maybe would express myself in a different fashion. And I would encourage everybody when they're working on a project like this, a book that they have a passion about, to share it with people. Not only will it help you be a better writer and say things more coherently and all of that, but they have a tendency of encouraging you to finish and to expect you to give them the next chapter and just be a part of the whole process of creation. And we had people do that. I had people read. I had one pastor friend read the book, I think, about five times for helping formulate the questions, Tim Irving. So it's just a great way of keeping yourself connected to the process of continuing to create the book.
Great.
So...
How did
But I will say, Rhonda, I said I'm having a hard time understanding you on the phone, but go ahead and I'll try to hear.
All right, sorry about that. Okay, so now you had various people reading for you. How did that change what you did with your book, if at all?
Well, it just helped me to refine the how I wanted to do it. I said I wanted them to both have illustrations and stories and examples in my own life where that path had taken shape and worked it through, but also to the whole process of repetition and repeating the pattern. And as one person said, as I talked to him, this has been now over a year ago, Norm, I'm looking forward to the book because I love it when you sort of, he said, when you talk to me about it, it's sort of like a little water trickling out of a spigot or just barely coming out. I know when I finally can read the whole book at one time, it will be like a river of life to me. And so I'm really looking forward to it. So the parts were good as far as helping me, but I know everybody, as they read a little more of it, they were excited about having the whole thing in one book. And so
you created a page turner because people were going, okay, well, this was great, but I need the next piece. I need to understand. I need this help in my life. And I have to say, because being somebody who works a lot with people to write your books, that's a very big deal. It's a great thing to field test or beta test or however you want to say it, but, you know, your book before it's out, because then you know that the people for whom you have written your book, the people for whom it is intended, are in fact getting a benefit out of it. Because I'm sure some people said, hey, there's a little bit in this chapter here that is just really perfectly clear, and then there's this other piece over here, I don't get it. Did that happen while you were writing?
Oh, yeah, we had several. I even had one, pastor friend write me back and tell me I couldn't say something because she had a certain way of looking at things, and I had a certain way apparently of saying things at that time, and she said, no, you just can't say that. That's heretical if you say that. And so everything from that to even my wife at the end of the process saying, Norm, don't talk about the book anymore. When you finish the book, talk to me. And so it went from one extreme to the other.
Oh, wow. Yeah, but you got some help along the way. I want to play a piece of a song that you actually wrote for myself and my co-author for our inspirational and humorous book that's called I'll Push, You Steer, because I want people to have a feel for the music and the way that you, in this case, you read our book, you took our book and turned that into a song. So let me show you just a little bit of that for some.
I'm not going to be giving up. I'm not laying down on the job. Moving forward one step at a time. I'm going to give you, Lord, all that I've got. I've faced my share of pain, and you were there with me. So right now, I'll try to explain how it's going to be. I push, you steer, and it's no telling where we're going from here. I push, you steer. One thing is certain, one thing crystal clear. Everything is working together for my good when I push and you steer.
How did you first discover that you had this great ability to take music and relate it to a message and to write your own songs, Norman?
Oh, I don't know. I've been trying to write probably, you know, most of my life. I thought, you know, in high school I was going to be a great bass singer in a gospel quartet, and didn't even plan on going to college and all of that, but continued to write because I found that people heard the same message in music with a lot less walls up and would receive it, and it would be in them, and then you could reinforce it later. I had an experiment when I was a youth pastor, and I knew I was going to get to preach, and so I asked them, could I sing something the week before, and did, and everybody loved it, and it was just so, you know, everybody talked about how moving it was, and I came back the next week and preached the same thing, and everybody thought I was trying to step on their toes, and I just told them, well, you thought it was great last week when I sang it. And so just even then, back, oh, goodness, that's been almost 30 years ago, to have the different kinds of reactions. So I said I want it to be both. I want it to be very penetrating, like it is when you preach something, but also sort of slipping in and getting down into the heart, like the same message can when it's done through music. And so both work together, I hope, as we go along.
Well, music and storytelling have something in common there, because the same thing happens with a good story, that people can receive a teaching, a truth, or an understanding much more with barriers down and with open mind and with open heart, and they can as well with music than they can just if somebody walks up and says, hey, you ought to do this, or this is how it is, or, you know, whatever, in a more either preaching or just telling somebody. In both cases, with music and with stories, the heart actually slows down, the brain waves slow down a little bit, so it's a good way to put someone into a receiving mode.
It is, and I found that people like the 2-minute version way better than they do most of the time the 20-minute version.
Well, yes. I'm sure this do it now in 3 minutes or less society is the bane of preachers everywhere, but...
But I said, you know, the neat thing, you can do so many things that way. Of course, our last recording, full recording of The Colors of Grace, was to help people relive or remember the experience of a spiritual experience called The Walk to Emmaus, where we wrote 15 songs to reflect the spirit and the content of the 15 talks that occur during that weekend, because we, even though people take notes and pay attention to the talks, most folks, when they get back home, are, you know, very busy and have things that they have to get back to, and people that they have to deal with that they weren't dealing with on the weekend, or they was apart from that. So we wanted a way that, you know, they, wherever they go, they can take that weekend experience, that experience of God, and that short sort of short course in Christianity, through music. Wherever they go. And so you can do that, and that's why I've done that for a long time, and just try to have people, when you, especially if you write things that I sing prior to giving a message, I find that people are much more, they can catch much more of the sermon than they would without that sort of introduction.
Yes, you're giving it to them, and as we often talk about in terms of doing things on the web, it's good to give information in multiple formats. In terms of your blog or website, we might talk about having videos, audios, pictures, text, any combination of the same, and that's really what you're bringing to your way of doing ministry, and the fact that you have your teachings, you have your songs that relate to and complement the teaching so that people can receive it. Some people, I'm sure, maybe get the message better because they've gotten it through both the words, the spoken words and the songs.
Yeah, and we want to encourage people. I said if they want to hear more about our ministry, and of course pray for our ministry here with our church here at South Hill United Methodist Church, or in, as part of Norman Ramsey Ministries, they can certainly follow us. We encourage them to follow us on Facebook, to like us there, as you were talking about earlier, on Facebook, Norman Ramsey Ministries, and we've got our calendar, and I've got to get on that today to post some things. We're blessed to be asked to come down. We're going from Virginia to Alabama here in just a couple of days to preach 10 times in 6 days at a camp meeting that setting that's been continual since 1828, so that'll be a new thing for me, but we're just excited about what we've been able to do and also the books that are coming that will reinforce this path that God uses and travels up when he's at work in us, and so people can certainly be maybe find out more about that as well. But we'd love to hear from anybody. Like I said, our email is Reverend Norm. Just spell it all out with all the E's. ReverendNorm@msn.com, and people can write and ask me about things. If they have a particular question about anything in Scripture, I'll certainly try to answer their questions. And we appreciate you posting our website, NormanRamsey.com, as well as the blog. They can check out through that and some other things that go on just about every day. And so we're very excited and appreciate so much you letting me come on the program today.
Well, I'm really glad to have you here, and I think it's just a beautiful thing. And what I want to highlight for our listeners, you know, we bring people of varying backgrounds, and the point is that there's always a message of staying connected, being connected, that none of us does anything alone, in business, in life, in anything. We are never walking alone. There's always that connection to God, divinity, that which is greater than ourselves. There's that connection with other people. And no matter what you're doing, whether your business is a ministry, such as Reverend Norman Ramsey, or whether it is your own business that you are starting and nurturing out of your home or in whatever way that you're doing it, the power of relationships is definitely strong. So I'm really excited to have you here, and I hope that people will visit NormanRamsey.com, and they'll be able to see and read about your book. And you have music samples there. I started to look, but I didn't get all the way through the site.
I'm not sure if all that's completely set up yet.
No,
I know. I think it would still go over if you needed to go over to thecolorsofgrace.com and still hear some of the music. TatePublishing.com also has our recording of The Colors of Grace as well as the book. Out at TatePublishing.com, and you can look it up by author. And if you hit R, I'm on page 6. But can I share one more thing about the importance of following that path, and especially as it relates you to other people. And if you have a business or if you want to serve other people, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 7, and this is the part I used to go sing, and years ago, and people would say, yeah, I want to sign up for your stuff, and I want to follow you. And I really just wanted to say I had a great service there at their church, so I wanted them to sort of support me. I always used to joke if I could have ever gotten everybody to give me $1 a month years ago when it was impractical to do, I'd be living pretty now. But one of the things I discovered is there's a process, just like the farmer walks this pathway of grace almost every year he works. It begins with preparing the soil. And just like Kristen was talking about, how do you think? What are you thinking about? Who are you affiliated with? Who are you associated with? Who are you following? Who's setting the agenda for you? That you prepare the soil of your heart. You begin in repentance. But you also plant seeds of faith. You can't have any future if you don't have faith to do what you need to do today. And that you cultivate what you plant, just like a good farmer. And you build up, you find out what works and doesn't work, and you do what works. And you take step by step. And even if you're like me, maybe somebody's listening today that they say, well, you know, I try to do that. I don't seem to finish things very well. I was laughing with a friend of mine the other day. I said, well, we'll just be the greatest restarters that have ever lived. and we just restart what we didn't, you know, get to yesterday, and we'll learn a little more today than we knew yesterday. We'll just continue to improve and do the things we need to do, because there is a harvest to that. Once you cultivate things, there's a harvest. But the real prosperity, Paul says, we began with you as servants through whom you came to believe. I planted, and Apollos watered. He cultivated what we were doing, and God gave the increase. And Paul says at that point, that's not where we stop, especially if we're creating a business or a ministry or working. That's where we really get the start. Because he says that's when a master builder learns how to build on the increase God gives him. That's the place where we live off the interest we show to those we serve, to those who have been blessed by us, to those who do receive, you know, hey, I really like that product or I really like that stuff. Well, then, okay, you really want to bring life to yourself then and to them, then you really show interest at that point of increase. And then that's, Paul says, when we get our reward. We don't get our reward just by, you know, even just by producing good things. Or, you know, building a better mousetrap. We have to find out who would want our mousetrap and then give them the interest of our time and our expertise so that we can bring life to those who God has increased to us. And if I could encourage anybody, just, you know, you think you're slow. You haven't met me yet. And so you can do anything you need to do. God will be with you to watch over what you and God have decided is the best thing you can be doing today. And it will be watched over until it's done. Like my book process, like I said, it's been 6.5 years since I preached that first sermon. But that pattern is firmly in place now that I know I could help anybody move in the direction they need to move so that they can move with God. And I just again say thank you, Rhonda, for letting me come and share a little bit today.
Thank you very much, and I'm glad, very, very glad that you were here. And thanks again, and of course people know where to find you, but normanramsey.com is your website, and we have everything in the show notes and a little blog post I'll be putting up just right after the show here. So thanks again, Reverend Norman Ramsey. It's a pleasure, as always, to get with you and be able to visit and hopefully help you as well as that you have been serving our community.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Rhonda, and you know I'll talk to you again.
That's absolutely right. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
So I have a little bit of a news flash for people before we complete our show today. Oops, oh, started to play the news flash and then it stopped. Oh, well. So our news flash is, if you are somebody who has thought about writing a book, and maybe you've put it off, you've kept putting it on the back burner, then I would like for you to receive 3 free and easy ways. I will show you step by step 3 very easy ways to write a book and ask you and encourage you to actually write your book by Labor Day. So if you go to theinstantvip.com/laborday.htm, you will find there a free gift and a little challenge for you. So thank you very much for being here on Relationship Marketing 101. We will be back with you next week. Make it a great week, and as always, pay attention to how you can serve better and build your business through the power of relationships. Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.